We have our two finalists for Downtown Madness 2020, including, in a moment, crowning the new champion for this year as the votes have been tabulated. And history has been made in Downtown Madness as we welcome aboard our very first two-time champion voted by listeners. Stephen Tobolowsky joins us for the second time in 3 years, voted our most favorite guest. Stephen, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a little bit overwhelmed, I have to say. There's, you know, it got to be where, you know, on Twitter, I'm able to see the pairing as it's going down, and each week I'm going down now. This is it for me, crashing in flames. And I go on to the next round, and it got to where I was physically ill.
Oh no!
Going on Twitter of just the suspense of it all, and not the coronavirus, the suspense of Ridge Kimball Downtown. So I couldn't even look. I couldn't even look at it, and I thought, you know, Stephen, just let this be. I am thrilled. I have a very soft spot for Downtown and for Maine as in whole. Did you know Ann and I were looking for a home over by Casco?
That would be wonderful. Are you still in the process of doing that?
No, not now. Now is the end of the world. You know, we're readjusting. But we went there and we saw a house, and it was a farmhouse, an old farmhouse, which was really lovely, and the price was right. But the roof of the kitchen, the interior height of the house, was something like 6'3.5" high. Now I'm 6'3". And there was so low clearance, but the real estate person said, well, that is because in Maine, you want to keep your heat in. You know, if you have too high a ceiling, the heat goes right out. But I said, I'm feeling a little like a troglodyte in here. You know, this is a little dangerous. But, you know, the whole place was so lovely. It makes us, we Ann and I fondly think about, again, when the world starts up again, is renewing the search.
Well, part of the reason for that, doorway, too, is we slouch a lot here in Maine, but that's to keep warm.
I see. That's nice to know. Oh, gosh.
All right, here's the list, Stephen, of who you beat along the way.
Oh, gosh.
And again, it's not about the competition. It's an honor just to be in the field. But you eliminated Adam Savage of Mythbusters, Mark Duplass, Michael McKean, Ed Asner, Roseanne Cash, and then beloved Maine newscaster Pat Callahan.
I can't believe that. I just saw Ed not long ago. Ed Asner, I saw him not long ago out here. And Ed Asner and I have a mutual friend who is no longer with us anymore by the name of Bob Darnell. And Bob was a Marine and fought in Korea, was an amazing man, and was a great actor who was my best friend for many years and was Ed's best friend. And so we always share Bob Darnell's story. So I saw Ed, but I had no idea at the time he was my competition. So the next time I see him, I'll rub it in his face.
Well, and Ed was supposed to be here a couple of weeks ago. We were bringing him in to do his one-man show, God Help Us, and then had to cancel because of all of this.
Yeah, of course. And Ed was in, you want to talk about a guy with an amazing career. Where Ed met my dear friend Bob Darnell is that Ed was in the Broadway production of the Three Penny Opera by Bertolt Brecht. The original production with Lotta Linja, who was Rosa Klebb in From Russia with Love.
Yeah.
Lotta Linja was the original actress from Berlin who played Pirate Jenny or whatever that part was. And Ed tells the story of Bob Darnell at the time. He was a Marine fresh out of Korea. And he was the understudy for the lead actor in the play, McKeith. and wonderful role. Anyway, Ed tells the story of when the McKeith suddenly got sick and Bob had to go on stage for him on Broadway, his first performance on Broadway. And Bob went out and did brilliantly, except he forgot that he had the finale of the entire show to sing. he just forgot that he had to learn the finale. He figured he would never go on. So there he is. He's being marched to the gallows, and he's supposed to sing this song, very famous, "Oh, gentlemen, do not be taken in. Men live exclusively by mortal sin." It's this great song. So anyway, they march Bob up to the gallows, and Ed said, "They're watching him go up there." And Bob he hears the introduction, and he doesn't know what the hell to sing. And so he starts to make up something that sounded like German. He doesn't speak German either. So he just schlock and bond. And he sang the whole song in German gibberish, his first performance on Broadway.
I love it.
Ed, hysterical, ridiculous.
Well, we want to tell you too, Stephen, how much we love the new season of One Day at a Time. This is, I think, it's been the best season yet. How fun was it to have that Beast costume and do the Halloween episode? That was great.
Yeah, the Beast costume. The first, I should have known something would go wrong. The Beast costume fit me perfectly. Of all things, when you try to, you order something like that over like Amazon.com, right? Like a Beauty and the Beast. So they ordered it off the rack and they put it on me, and the Beast costume worked. I need a little double stick tape to hold the horns on my head. That's okay. The problem was right before I entered, my Beast breeches ripped up the middle. And so my pants ripped. I bent down I'm at the door ready to make my entrance. I bent down and then the button pops off of my vest. I'm thinking, now I'm really screwed. And I run in a panic back to the costume shop, and I said, my pants tore my vent. And they said, don't worry, you don't have to make your entrance now because Rita has to get into her Belle costume, and that's going to take 20 minutes. So we'll have plenty of time to fix your costume. So Rita and I had so much fun doing that show. Now, let me tell you about, just a little heads up, since we're doing this, previews of coming attractions. We have a very funny show on One Day at a Time tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening. Very funny show. And it's a show that all of us have lived through at one point in time. I'm not going to be a spoiler. And the show after that, the week after that, is one of those shows of One Day at a Time that I went like, oh my God, from the first read through to the final shooting, we went, this is one of the beautiful shows we have ever done. And that'll be the first six that we've done. And that was that's when Sony closed everything down. And so we have seven more to shoot, and we'll shoot those as soon as they let us back in the stable, you know, but it's closed down. Is Maine all closed down?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, we had Isabella Gomez on the show a couple of weeks ago. What a delight she is!
She's amazing. She is brilliant. She's a wonderful actress. She's gorgeous, and she's so sweet. She is one of the sweetest people I have ever met, and It's amazing. I've worked on shows where people don't like each other, and they have to pretend that they like each other. But on One Day at a Time, we truly love each other so much. And when we have problems, we have common problems. You know, we don't have problems with one another. We have problems of how are we going to do this in a limited amount of time. How are we going to do this with the world falling apart around us? You know, we have a common enemies that have made us closer together. But when we do return, when we do return, one thing to look forward to is Gloria Calderon-Kellett, our showrunner, is going to direct two of the subsequent episodes. Todd Grinnell, who plays Schneider, is going to direct one, and he directed last year, and he's a wonderful director. And it will be the world premiere of Justina Machado directing. So she's going to direct a One Day at a Time, too, which I just love. They asked me at one point in time, my manager said, "Stephen, you know, do you want to throw your hat in the ring and direct one of these shows?" I go, "No, absolutely not. I don't need that aggravation. I don't need to have networks and studios yelling at me. I don't. Oh, just let me act. Let me act and get off stage. Oh, please."
One of the things we spent a lot of time talking to Isabella about was the writing staff and how they, of One Day at a Time, and how they really sort of tackle a lot of topics, and, you know, whether it's LBT issues or Latinx issues, but also the generational aspects of a comedy with three distinct generations. What do you have to say about the writing team and how they're able to juggle all of that?
I find it extremely interesting. And from my point of view, I feel that the three generations represented are represented in a very telling way, but not in an equal way. And I think that one of the geniuses of One Day at a Time is that the issues of the children are very, very present. The issue of Isabella and sexual issues the kids encounter, bullying issues the kids encounter, are very specific and not just generic that you would expect from television shows normally. They're very specific, and therefore they feel very true. The aspect of the middle generation, if you would say that's Schneider, if you would say that's Justina's character, Penelope, those roles, especially Justina, who's the engine that makes the show run, there you see, I feel, behind real issues that adults have that nobody does shows about. And about the show about depression, the show about, you know, being divorced and going out on a first date again, shows about dealing with trying to get ahead in your work or trying to get a hold of the VA on the phone, you know, all sorts of real issues that generation has. I find the older generation, of Rita and me, we're almost symbolic. Is that the right word I'm looking at? Mm-hmm. Archetypal. We're almost archetypal. And I hear all the time people saying, "Rita is my grandmother." and of course she's not. But she represents the wisdom and wackiness and life that we, so many of us, got from our grandparents. So many of us felt, but we didn't really know who they were as people. We, you know, they're almost bigger than life. And in terms of Dr. Berkowitz, of what they've done with me, it is kind of amazing, too, is that I'm a person in the show who's lost more than anybody I've ever known in my life. And I've lost my wife. I've lost the love of my children. My work is not what I expected. I felt like everything I've done in my life has traded out to be a loser for me. And yet, the one thing I want is love. The one thing I want is happiness. The one thing I have is hope. And I find that something you never see on television. And it is wonderful. And I find it the very spirit of what comedy is kind of looking at disaster and looking at failure in the face and saying, like, we're going to try again.
Well, and that's
we're
what,
try again.
To me, that's what makes it such an incredible show, and the writing and the acting so delightful, and because it's so three-dimensional and honest, that your character, Rita's character, they're not comic foils. Yes, they're part of it, but we're always laughing with them, not at them. And there's that sense of honesty and poignancy that we got in one of the recent episodes when your character did just an offhand comment about understanding what loneliness was. And I thought that was so powerful.
It was so funny. It's like Rich, it was a scene in the car, and I think that was our second episode. They had a bunch of jokes at that spot in the script of where I say something, and we're filming, and Mike Weiss came up to me and said, "Hey, I got, why don't you try to say this?" And Mike had that one line that he gave it to me, and the second he gave it to me, my heart almost exploded. It was so perfect and it was so beautiful, but that was not an ad lib, but it was in the moment we were shooting, try it. Want to try that? And we did it. We did one take, and that's what we had in the show.
What's going on with the Tobolowsky Files? Are you and David cooking up some new episodes for us?
Well, yes, very much so. On the Tobolowsky Files, this is one thing the end of the world has been very good for, is that I have plenty of time to write. In fact, today I'm writing again. What I have done is, and David and I kind of have been chatting about this, I have been writing and recording new Tobolowsky Files. I have finished 9 of them, written and recorded. I have finished writing another 5 of them, which I have not recorded. And then what happened, and I picked the music out for them, and then I ship them to David to, we'll do the intros to them and the outgoes, and David will edit the music and everything together and then put it on the web. So now I'm just waiting. I know David finished the first one and edited, and it sounds great. So now I'm waiting for him to have, because he's still working. He's a working man. He's working for Amazon still. So when he has a break where he's going to start editing and then start dropping those bad boys out on the internet. So Tobolowsky Files are on their way. It could be as many as 15 new ones.
That'll be great, because for Carrie, am I right? Carrie, you can't travel anywhere unless you have the Tobolowsky Files to accompany your journey.
Yeah, it feels wrong to be driving without Tobolowsky Files loaded on my player.
Yeah, well, I've got some good ones. I you know, there's a couple stories that are very funny, and then there's a couple stories that are not, that I've decided to tell. And so this will be very interesting, and certainly fans of the show, of the Tobolowsky Files, will be very pleased to have this added information to the backstory, so to speak.
Excellent. And hey, Bruce Pratt, down there in Swanville, do you want to compare any gardening notes with Stephen while he's here?
Yes. And all these beautiful pictures of the food and the garden. We finally have peas in the ground. And worked diligently yesterday. I took a picture and I posted.
It's, you know, we were out in the garden. You know, this garden, and you really get to know who a person is when there's a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says what romance is about is the bedroom. I've always said it's the emergency room. It's like, who will watch your back when you're going into the hospital? When you go out on a date with someone, you think, oh, she's a cute girl, she's from Georgia. You have no idea. So we have this garden, this lovely garden, and now it is the source of our survival. I'm walking in it right now, and we have chives, and we have onions, and we have peas. And we have tomatoes starting to grow. We have mustard and kale and celery. And she's out here every day. She categorizes the food we have. She brings it into the house. We fresh food from our garden every day, and sometimes twice a day. And then she makes lists of it. She categorizes what we've eaten so she knows what to plan again. This morning I was eating a bagel, and she said, did that bagel come out of the sack with three bagels in it or the sack with four bagels? I don't know. She says, I have categorized all of this food. I have to keep track of what food we have coming in and out of the house. You must keep notes. Okay. So I am. Yesterday I had a quiche made with chives and leeks from the garden. It was phenomenal. Last night I had borscht soup made with beets from the garden. I mean, it was spectacular. She's a cooking wizard now. She's amazing.
It's important to have a good partner for the end of the world, and I would say you've done well.
Yeah,
I would say so too. She made a pecan pie yesterday.
Wow.
And right now she's in the kitchen making rice pudding. Give me a break. It's so good.
Well, Stephen, thank you as always. It's wonderful to visit with you. Congratulations again on winning the Downtown Madness Champion. No more stress about that for the next 11 months for you. We think of you as part of our downtown family, and we wish you and Ann so much good health and out of this on the other side, and hopefully we can get you back to Maine when the world is back on its axis.
Well, thank you so much, guys, and thank you for the win. I really appreciate that. I just feel the load of tension dropping off, and now I'm going to bask in the glory of it. Oh, God. But thank you, and have a beautiful time there in that beautiful, beautiful place we call Maine.
Thank you, Stephen. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Stephen Tobolowsky, your Downtown Madness 2020 champion, defeating Pat Callahan and winning for the second time in 3 years, becoming our first ever two-time winner. And Bruce, we don't vote. It's up to listeners. But boy, if we could, he would certainly get a whole lot of votes from this staff. We love the guy.
Yeah, and what a wonderful couple they are, and what a nice, wonderful, decent human being. And one day at a time gets better all the time. I'm a little behind where you guys are, but it's really good.
Yeah, it sure is.